हरे कृष्णा प्रभु, थैंक यू। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा गोपी धरा वल्लभा गिरिवर दारी, गोपी धरा यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे गोपावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, निरंतराक्ष श्रीमद्भागवतम की। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुवन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे, निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे, वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च, पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये, नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकि, कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतस्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः, वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः, ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो, यस्यान्तं न विदुः सुरासुरगणाः। தேவாய தஸ்மை நமோ.
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா, ஐ எம் வெரி ஹாப்பி டு பி வித் ஆல் ஆஃப் யூ டிவோட்டீஸ் ஃப்ரம் சிங்கப்பூர். வெரி நைஸ்லி ஷெல்டர்ட் இன் யுவர் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் லைஃப்ஸ் பை ஹிஸ் கிரேஸ் தேவிகானந்தன் பிரபு. When I see His Grace Devikananda Prabhu, I remember His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, who once said, don't look for blessings, make your endeavors, He said. Why? Because the blessings are already there in your life. Krishna has given His blessings by the verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. He has given the blessings by the holy rivers He has sent us. And the holy divine book, the Srimad Bhagavatam. He has sent the holy devotees. He has sent the holy name. He has sent the holy prasadam. He has sent the holy divideshams. And He has come in multiple holy forms to envelop us with His blessings and mercy. So don't say, where is mercy? Where is blessing? Don't search for it, He said. Make your endeavor, He said. And another time He said that there are some mango trees where you have to climb the top of the tree to get a mango. But nowadays, you must have seen that there are mango trees where the mangoes are hanging down below. Even a small 5-year-old kid can just pluck it. So he was telling, why are you looking up at the sky for something new to happen in your life while the association is available right here on the ground? So what is the meaning of that? People always think, oh, when will I see Vaikuntha? When will I see the Vaikuntha airplane coming and taking me to Vaikuntha to meet the Vaikuntha Vasis? Vaikuntha Vasis are right here all around you in the devotee community. Prabhupada said, devotees are also Vishnudutas, he said. So, Devakananda Prabhu is one such devotee, like a Vishnuduta devotee. It was a very inspiring example for many, many across the globe. And he is a very serious reader and speaker on Srimad Bhagavatam. So who can speak on such a topic like this better than him? It would be ridiculous for me to come and give a big lecture on this topic today. Nevertheless, I have taken out some 6 lessons from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the PPT which I will present now, and more deeper understanding and elaboration on these topics will be given to you by His Grace Devikananda Prabhu, as He keeps speaking on different sections. He is the best one to explain these things, and He is a very realized devotee. The other devotees in Singapore, like Dinamadhu Chaitanya Prabhu and others known to me, I am very Krishna Daya Prabhu and many other devotees, they are all very, very blessed and fortunate, because when they come to Pune, their mouth is full of glories of Devakananda Prabhu and all of you Singapore devotees. I can hear hours and hours from them about the glories. I was so inspired. I told him that you should not just be talking like this. You should make a video, I said. So he said, Prabhu, we are already in process. He said, we are making something about our community. Very nice video. I said, it will be nice to see the example how things were started from a scratch, from a seed to the big vatavriksha like banyan tree. Now the community has developed in Singapore so well, nicely. So many quality devotees there, all assembled under one roof, guided by Devakananda Prabhu. I am so happy to be associating with all of you today. So, I will briefly present about 40 minutes. I may go a little fast. You showed the cover? Yes. I may go a little fast, because there are many lessons, but since you are all seriously practicing devotees, you already know many of these things, so you will catch fast. So this is the first lesson from Srimad Bhagavatam. We learn, come out of the comfort zone. Look at this fish jumping from a smaller vessel to a bigger vessel. Life is made in this world in such a way that, you know, if we don't swim upstream, we will be carried away by the current of Maya downstream. So we have to make an effort to come out of the comfort zone. As you see this fellow sleeping in the sofa, people sometimes become stagnated in spiritual life. And a stagnated water stinks. A stinking water attracts mosquitoes and becomes a breeding place for them. Similarly, in spiritual life, when we become stagnated, we develop multiple material desires, which develop into greed and lust and anger, and then it poses many, many problems in this world. So, therefore, in the path of spiritual life, one has to make an effort to come to the stretch zone, where there is thrill, there is enthusiasm, there is adventure, and we don't remain like, I remember when we used to study mathematics in 8th standard, it used to be difficult. And then once you complete the 8th standard, it becomes very easy. And in the 8th standard holidays, we used to see the 9th standard textbook. It used to be very appearing difficult, but once you go to 9th, that becomes easy. Similarly, when you go to 9th, 10th appears difficult. So in this way, why the classes are upgraded like that and exams are kept, both things are kept, more learning and tests. Same with spiritual life also. We have to be learning more. Every day should be a day of increment in knowledge, increment in service, increment in improvement in seva bhava, service attitude, an increment in social service contribution to the Krishna conscious society. So in this way, that means we are in stretch zone. We should always give tasks to ourselves for the pleasure of Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. Then we are in stretch zone. Of course, we don't have to go to panic zone where, our spiritual life will be taken to task. One cannot give up chanting, hearing, in the name of expanding the movement by distributing books people have done in the past and collapsed in spiritual life. We don't want to do that. But we certainly want to stretch ourselves a little bit. Here is an example of complacent versus enthusiastic attitude. You see, Bharat Maharaj saw a deer in the forest and baby deer fawn, picked up and then took it to the ashrama. And while doing yajna, he got distracted. Just like this man having multiple mobiles, smartphones in his hand, getting distracted. So some people have 3 or 4 smartphones. And they have thousands of people in which they are trying to keep in touch. So modern day society is a society of distractions, age of distraction. So we only have 24 hours, but we are increasing the number of WhatsApp contacts in our mobiles. I don't know how we are going to accommodate them. 100, 200, 300, 400, 1000. We have a human limitation. Also, we should not forget that. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us that, that when we become complacent in spiritual life and get distracted, like the way Bharat did, eventually he, due to that, he became attracted to the deer. Of course, he is a pure devotee. I heard once his own as Radha Govind Maharaj said, he never fell down, he said. And he gave a reason for it. He said, if he fell down, he would have given up the jungle, returned to his kingdom and accepted the kingship and accepted the children, wife, family and everything, which he didn't do. And therefore, he didn't fall down. But he was given a slight, a small slap by the Supreme Lord by being given the body of a deer, where he had repentance, remorse, and then he ate dry grass and associated with saintly people in Pulaharshrama, and then he became Jadabharata and went back to Godhead. But he learnt a lesson that if you are casual in spiritual life, you will become casualty. So, and comfort zone is like coffin, you see. We should not be very careless in spiritual life. Like Indradumna Raja was careless in the guest reception of Agastya Rishi, and he had to become an elephant in the next life. Of course, it's not a great curse at all in one sense, because he was given opportunity to think of Lord Vishnu and go back to Vaikuntha. Nevertheless, we have to learn a lesson that if you are careless and complacent in spiritual life, like Nalakor Manigriva were carelessly doing some wrong things in Mandakini Ganga. So there are many examples like this in Srimad Bhagavatam that we should be enthusiastic. Enthusiastic means purpose is endeavoring with intelligence. We should always apply our intelligence to give deadlines and to achieve some projects. Means what? Now Radhashtami is coming, I will complete this Krishna book up to this chapter. Similarly, now Gaur Purnima is coming, I'll finish the Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Chaitamrita once through or whatever. So we all have to give some projects to ourselves, both in terms of study as well as missionary contribution, both. So If we push ourselves in Krishna consciousness and take trouble for Krishna and Guru, then Maya cannot push us. Prabhupada said that. You push forward the Krishna conscious movement, then Maya's push behind you will be gone. Because you will become conducted by Krishna. Like Prahlad was like a superconductor. He had no resistance at all. Krishna could pass through him and work through him and do miracles. So, therefore, these are different things we can focus. Leisurely you can think about them. I have also given you a little notes here after this. How to go from comfort zone to stretch zone. You can leisurely go through this. You will get some clues on how do we do that. I am also trying to do this. So this was the first lesson. Srimad Bhagavatam, I gave you examples of Nalakur Manigriv and Gajendra as Indradumna Raja, and also example of Bharat Maharaja gave you. So let's go to the second lesson. Bhishma's very valuable teachings on self-management. In this world, we all try to manage other people generally. You will see, whenever there are problems anywhere, whether it is devotee community or whether it is karmi circles, when there are problems, people do like this. Maybe this fellow, maybe that fellow, I don't know, they will say. When everything goes well, they will do like this. I did wonderful. Which means people generally take the credit for doing wonderful things, and people blame others when things go wrong, isn't it? So, because of that, there is always quarrel. And we have enemies externally and internally both. Look at this fellow, greedy for making a lot of money. Look at that other fellow who is very proud of already having achieved a lot of money. And look at this fellow, he's angry and frustrated in some situations, unable to tolerate it. So these are all anarthas in our own mind. Prabhupada says primarily three: lust, anger and greed. You can remember the word lag. Lag means to not lead. Opposite of lead is lag. So we lag in our spiritual life because of lust, anger and greed. So three primary impurities. And Prabhupada says that these are the abhadra. Hridayantastho hi abhadrani vidhinoti suhrit satam. Bhagavatam teaches us that one should destroy these three anarthas, lust, anger and greed, by the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. Same way, as I told you, if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will never remain in comfort zone, because Bhagavatam always tells us this material world is temporary, we have to go back to Godhead. And Bhagavatam says, Ajamila went back to Godhead. Vaikuntha plain took him. Dhruva Maharaj went back to Godhead. In the same manner, many greats, so Jadabharata went back to Godhead, Prithu and Archi went back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj went back to Godhead. Like that it says, Shantaha samadrisha shuddaha sarvabhutanuranjanaha yantyanjasa achyutapadam achyutapriyabandavaha. Those people who have become very peaceful in this world by dint of their Krishna conscious practice and give up all the material hankerings. Those people who see all living beings equally. Those who become pure at heart and practice pure devotional service. Shuddaha. Sarva Bhutanu Ranjanaha, those who please all the living entities by giving them Krishna consciousness. Yanti Anjasa, very easily they go back to Godhead without much struggle and strain and severe austerities like jnanis and yogis. Yanti Anjasa, Achyuta Padam means Vaikuntha, Achyuta Priya Bandavaha. They become one of the associates of Lord Krishna and become very dear to Him. So in this way, Bhagavatam says that keep your eyes fixed in the spiritual world and give up, you know, the cozy material comfort. Like a warm bed is a cold grave, it is said. The morning one should throw away the blanket and get up and take a bath and get ready for the morning program. Isn't it? So in this way, Bhagavatam very strongly advocates giving up the comfort zone. Similarly, Bhagavatam teaches, manage yourself before you can manage others. Like that, here this Bhishma teaching this nine qualifications: not become angry, not to lie, to distribute wealth equally, to forgive others, to beget children only through one's legitimate wife, and to be pure in mind and hygienic in body. You see, not to be inimical towards anyone, to be simple, to support servants or subordinates. So you can focus on each of these things very nicely and apply in our life. 1927 Bhagavatam purport, and I tried applying some of them. It is so helpful. Actually, one can become very peacefully situated by applying this. And further, you find the same verse purport, you will find Bhagavatam, Bhishma is giving for everything. If I am getting angry, what to do? Learn forgiveness. If I am having unlawful desires, illegitimate desires, illicit desires, what to do? Don't make plans in that direction. Ravana has to be told that. And Durvasa Muni has to be told that, you know, don't be angry, please forgive. So, therefore, each of the instances in the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches, oh, he committed a blunder and learnt a lesson hard way through the school of hard knocks. So let me be very careful, not do the same thing. The beauty of Bhagavatam is you can avoid doing mistakes simply by learning from someone and then applying it in our lives. We don't have to go through the same rut and then learn a bad lesson. Better that instead of having to do it, we just learn from the characters. And one shouldn't sleep. One has to have the spiritual culture of morning program. In this way, each of it, for example, if I am feeling worldliness, attracted to material enjoyments, what to do? Learn about the impermanence of the material world, he says. In this way he says, if I am feeling ignorant about everything, what to do? Then study Bhagavatam and awaken knowledge. If I am getting many diseases in the body, what to do? Regulate your diet. That's where the problems begin. If I have too many false hopes, what to do? No, control yourself. See, because you are a human being, you are not an animal. Animal can't control itself. Animals, actually, you find in the night so many pack of dogs, they fight with each other. But human beings actually can marry a woman and the husband, wife can peacefully live together and beget children in Krishna consciousness. And they can advance. So in this way, he is teaching us principles of self-management. Any leader, any manager applies these things in his life, he'll be a happy man. He can make so many people happy. There are many other verses also, like Santushti. There is one verse which says, Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushtyaye nakenava sarvendriyo pashantyacha tushyatyashu janardana. You want to please Krishna? Very easy. Three things you have to do. He's saying, Dayaya sarva bhuteshu, be compassionate to all living beings around you. Santushtyaye nakenava. You be satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord. Don't struggle hard, don't be greedy for acquiring things. Sarvendriya upashantyacha. The reason why you are greedy is the senses are demanding. So make the senses calm, cool, collected by engaging in Krishna consciousness, he says. In this way, tushyatyashu janardana, you will please Lord Krishna very easily, he says. Here you let us see the situation of Vasudev and Devaki. You all know the situation, see. And Kamsa is personally driving the chariot. And then he heard the Akashvani saying that the eighth child of Devaki will be the cause of Kamsa's death. And immediately he took his sword, he took her hair in the hand. So I am not going to go into the detail. You all know this pastime. Read in the 10th canto, 1st chapter, you will read. But I am going to bring out one very important lesson here. So Kamsa was a Rakshasa. Many nice things he said. Vasudev told him. He told she's your sister. Yesha, Tavanuja, Bala, Kripana, Putrikopama. He said, hey, my dear Kamsa, she's a woman. And it's a marriage occasion. And she's after all your sister. How can he kill her? Nothing was of any avail. He thought about the soul and body difference and all. Nothing happened. So imagine, what should Vasudev do at that time? If Vasudev runs away from that place out of fear of Kamsa lifting the sword, because he may think first he will kill my wife and then he will kill me. What kind of family with which I got married here? Better I let me run away. That is called flight, we call it. Or if Vasudev takes his sword and fights with Kamsa, that would be like fight. Of course he can't do that. Many Kamsas, other men are around, they will immediately arrest Vasudev. And on the spot, Devaki will be killed, and next to Devaki, Vasudev will be killed also by Kamsa. So if he fights, both will be killed. If he flees away, Devaki will be killed. And he can't flee away, he may be arrested also. So in this way, Vasudev was in a very difficult situation. Many of us in this world are also in a fight-flight situation. Say for example, a girl got married to a man and comes to a sasural, you know, father-in-law, mother-in-law's place. And then she finds that the mother-in-law wants to be the queen of the house. And the daughter-in-law is, and I'm feeling very uneasy. You know, my parents raised me with so much independence and here there is so much control. She doesn't like it. But so she feels like running away to her parents' home. Is it proper? Then the parents will not be happy. They will say, hey, no. Go and stay with your husband. But if she stays in along with the husband and mother, his mother and father, she is very uncomfortable. There she gets fight. So fight or flight, both are not possible for her. She tells her husband, come, let's go to America or let's go to London. Husband says, no, I am the only son. My parents don't want me to leave them. Even if I go, I have to take them also with me. So the wife feels, my Lord, what to do? I don't have any solution to this. So it's a fight-flight situation. Isn't it? Vasudeva was like that. If Vasudeva flees away, Devaki will be killed. If Vasudeva fights here, then both will be killed. So she just couldn't, the same thing even men face in the office. Like imagine you have a boss who is very aggressive, tycoon. He wants to exploit work from you. He tells you that I am newly appointed now and I have to prove myself and prove that our company is producing big results. So you have to stay in the company 16 hours a day. And I am a bloodthirsty leader. If you don't do this type of work, I will chuck you out of the job. I will give you the pink slip and show the door. He's threatening you. So in his absence, you are always in a state of stress. Hey, this new fellow has come, he's torturing me. Let me just throw away this job and go home. No, the wife will ask you, why did you leave the job? You're earning a good money. Wife will not allow you to leave the job. And the boss is not going to allow you without extracting your blood. So much of work. So here also is fight-flight situation, both in the company and for a newly married girl. Same thing with Vasudev, but Vasudev very maturely tackled it. What he did maturely, he understood that as long as I have my intelligence, I will use it. Krishna given intelligence I have. So he told Kamsa that, he thought actually, right now I have to either lose my wife now, or we can beget children and then I can hand over the children to Kamsa, I will lose the children. But by the time he thought Kamsa may not live also, he's Asura, he may die anytime, he may have less duration of life. Then she may be saved and children may be saved also. So he thought very wisely and then gave the decision, you see. And Kamsa agreed for that. So I am telling you, sometimes we all cannot run away and we can't punch on the nose of our boss. So we need to think very wisely how to act. And Srimad Bhagavatam will teach us. When we learn how to live in this world, when we are surrounded by living entities who may be vicious, who may be venomous, who may try to hurt us, when we are living in the midst of them, how to live maturely, make decisions peacefully. Like, see, Asuric mentality, the Devi mentality, both are encountering each other. Kamsa is an Asura and Vasudev is like, he has divine assets, divine and demoniac, you can see that. So how should divine people who are in the path of divinity, how they should tackle people who have demoniac mentality, Bhagavatam will teach us. And the third one is on converting misfortune into good fortune. Whenever misfortune befalls upon us in this world, many of us lose our spirit, we lose hope, we collapse, and we get into a kind of state of depression, and we are dreaming, and we are lamenting, and really our life becomes stagnated due to misfortune. Dhruva Maharaj was one who faced such misfortune in his life when he was chastised by his stepmother, but then Dhruva went to his mother. So here you find another example, which is Duryodhana insulting Vidura, chastising him, saying that, look at this man, he is eating salt from our hands and is always favoring our enemies, the Pandavas. Throw him out of the palace, he said, only with his life heir. So Dhritarashtra was sentimentally attached to Duryodhana, he couldn't control, and nobody else had the daring to speak to Duryodhana. And Vidura thought, I am his uncle, he is my nephew, he is publicly chastising in a public assembly like this. Yeah, he is insulting me, and in a political palace like this, it's no good for me to live. What I should do now? He could have easily told Dhritarashtra, your son is doing this, how are you allowing him? Chastise him. No, he didn't do that. He was a minister actually, advisor and counselor to Dhritarashtra, the king. So naturally, Vidura must have been given another palace nearby. He's a very great man, big man. But he didn't defend himself, nor did he seek any justice. Instead, he prayed to Lord for advice. And Lord in the heart inspired him. So the internal potency worked on him. And he decided to renounce the world and go on a holy pilgrimage. And then to meet Krishna. So he thought, I am too impure in this Asat Sabha to meet Krishna. Let me first meet some saintly people. So he met Maitreya, Uddhava and all of them. In this way, Vidura converted a misfortune into good fortune. You know, actually there was a material misfortune which led to spiritual good fortune. Materially in this world, all of us face different difficulties. But if we can turn them into positive alternatives for spiritual advancement, we are really intelligent. Same thing Dhruva also did. You see, Dhruva's stepmother is telling him that my son can sit, but you cannot sit. Father, you have to be born from my womb, she said. So Dhruva became broken hearted and went to his mother and cried, and mother told him, my dear child, two things she told them. Don't harbor any malice for anyone. Why, if you are a Vaishnava, na krodho na cha matsaryo na lobho na shubhamatihi bhavanti krita punyanam bhaktanam purushottame. In Vishnu Sahasranama it is said that devotees unnecessarily don't become angry. Na krodho na cha matsaryo, they don't harbor any malice. They are not envious of others' progress. And she said, bhavanti krita punyanam bhaktanam purushottame. The purushottama bhaktas always focus on how to serve the Supreme Lord. So she said, my dear child, you want a kingdom, nothing great about it. Your father, Uttanapad, and his father, Swayambhuva Manu, and his father, Brahma, all of them got their kingdom from the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So you go to forest and he will provide you. And in the forest, you will meet saintly people like Narada. Go there. So he went and met Narada, and he performed meditation, and he got darshan of Vishnu and attained perfection. And then he attained Dhruva Loka, you see. That is Dhruva. And he achieved great success in his life. So he converted misfortune into good fortune. Two people I told you, Vidura and Dhruva. You will elaborately read their pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, Bhagavatam actually teaches us how to act maturely in difficult situations in our life. We don't have to get stuck up in misfortunes. You can convert it into good fortune. Like we say, failures are stepping stone to success. And Bhagavatam practically teaches it. Here is another fourth lesson. Learn to accept the facts of life. See, if you don't accept the facts of life, we are going to be frustrated. There's a saying in English, what cannot be cured must be endured, it is said. And if you don't agree to endure, then you will not be a peaceful person. Say, for example, one of your best friends requested you for 1 lakh rupees, and you gave in good heart. You told that, I don't even need a promissory note. You are such a close friend of mine. Why is such formalities? Take it, 1 lakh is here. And he said that he'll give you back in 3 months. But then now 6 months have passed, 1 year has passed, 2 years, 5 years, not giving back at all. And his economic situation never improved, and he never gave back the money. So you develop a very, very, very bad feelings for that person. Hey, he's not keeping his promise. He has no integrity. Then you stop talking to him. And when he tries to come to you for seeking forgiveness, you say, don't even show your face, get lost. And you both were friends for 20 years. Now you can't even look at his face. Then what to do? Accept the facts of life. Which means maybe we can think that in my previous life, I took 1 lakh from somebody and didn't give back. So that reaction is coming back to me. Otherwise, he's a very wonderful devotee. So what can he do? He has no money. His monetary situation is going down, down, down. He is not getting better. If he has money, he would certainly give me. So let me accept the fact of life and be his Vaishnava friend. That's what some intelligent people do. I don't say all of you suggest you forego your money. You definitely have to try to get back the money. But sometimes in life, certain things, you are unable to move it forward. Like for example, one Sangha Maharaja got a son called Vena. That's a very long story, cut short, I will tell you. When Sangha Maharaja was performing a sacrifice to demigods, the Brahmanas saw that demigods are coming, but they are not accepting the offerings. Sangha Maharaj asked them, sirs, please tell me, am I sinful that they are not accepting all my offerings? So they said, my dear king, in this life you have not done any sin, even mentally also. But in previous life you have some sinful account due to which you have no putra bhagyam. But we can perform a worship to Supreme Lord Krishna and he can give you a son. But demigods have no right to give you a son because it's not in your account. He said, okay, then perform a yajna for Supreme Lord and then give me a child. And now you all may have a question. While demigods cannot give, how can Supreme Lord give? You know what Supreme Lord will do? He will give son to a person in whose destiny there is no son. But the son will give so much misery to the father, exactly the misery he will get by not having son. That much misery he will give. So that's what Krishna did. He gave him a son called Vena, who was a ruthless rogue. He was godless fellow, atheistic fellow, and who troubled the Brahmanas. He didn't allow the Brahmanas by kettle drums. He announced that anybody who performs yajna, they'll be beaten up and put behind the bars. He was not allowing anyone to surrender to Lord Vishnu at all. He told, even demigod should not be worshipped, yajna should not be done, everybody should worship me only. Like that he was announcing. Just like Hiranyakashipu was doing, similar. So the Brahmanas became very unhappy. See, the Brahmanas are chastising him. by the displeasure of Brahmanas, he was destroyed. Anyway, but Anga Maharaj, when he was trying to rectify this fellow Vena, like father-son relationship becomes so acidic when a son is disobedient and not listening, and the father tries to bring him to Krishna consciousness. It's a very painful situation at home. Some of us may face also in our communities like that. So some parents, you know, they bring their son and Prabhuji, Prabhuji, please tell him to memorize shlokas. Please tell him to sing Vaishnava songs. Please come, tell him to come to temple. Tell him not to indulge in bad habits. But the children don't listen. What to do? Then acceptance. That's what I told you. Accept the facts of life. If you have given your children the best things, after that you leave it to them. You can't do anything. Because they are bringing prarabdha karma from the previous lives. And everybody is independent. Don't get too frustrated unnecessarily. So Anga Maharaj said that, you know, in this world, good son is good, but sometimes a good son may be so good that you get attached to him. So then he said, you know, we think bad son is bad, but sometimes bad son is also good. He said, why? Because he gives you detachment. So I will develop detachment. And Angaraja ran away after taking some guidance of a few Brahmanas. And then he went to forest and performed severe practices of devotional service and went back to Godhead. That is Anga Maharaj. He accepted the facts of life, that this fellow cannot be changed. He's an incorrigible fellow. So you can't change people. Like grandfather thinks, my grandson should come and sit and hear good advice from me, but he will not listen. Like, you know, one boy was asking our marriage bureau that, can you please give me a girl who is a computer science engineer and working in a very good company and who is very, very beautiful to look at and fair in color also, and who always wears sari and who will bow down in the morning to me. And Vancha Kalpatarubhya says she will do, and she will be very good in household, and her cooking should be very high class. And the people told, wait a minute. If you want such a girl, better you don't ask us. Go to Satyaloka, meet Lord Brahma, and request him to create one girl for you like that. They said. Because they said, you want a combination of a computer science engineer who is very humble, who will be bowing down to you. What do you mean? You want a highly educated girl also, and you very, so, Samahatma Sudarlabha, very rare. So many people are simply living in a fantastic dream world foolishly. And therefore, when they encounter difficult situations in life, they are punched on the nose solidly because of their false expectations, which lead them to frustration and committing suicide or breaking in marital relationships. Therefore, we should learn to accept the facts of life. So here is another story of one King Prashadra in the 9th canto. So this Prashadra, he was a very good soul. You know, he was a prince. Amongst the many of his brothers, they were all ruling the kingdom, but he actually wanted to devote his life for the cows. So he was taking care of the cows. He was very fond of Gopuja, protecting cows. So one day what happened, a tiger came from the forest. It was a cloudy day in the night time. So Prashadra used to stand with his sword whole night, keeping awake vigil to protect the cows. So he was doing that when the tiger came in the dead of the night like that. It was a moonlit night and the sky was cloudy and it was slightly raining also. So the cows were all inside the barn. So when the cow came and the cows saw that a tiger has come, they smelled the tiger and they started running out of the barn, hither and thither. They got afraid that the tiger may bite us, kill us and eat us. So as soon as the king saw, oh, cows are spreaded everywhere and the tiger may catch any of the cows. Now I think I have to kill the tiger now. So he had a sword in the hand. In the dark night, he looked at the tiger and aimed at it and threw the sword. So what happened? The tiger's leg got hurt and the tiger ran away back into the jungle and left behind the cows. But the problem was in the morning when he got up, he saw that one of the cow was killed by that sword. Because when the tiger ran away, it hit the cow on the neck and the cow died. Then all the Brahmanas came, they were shocked. My Lord, this is Brahma Hatya. The news was immediately taken to, Vasishta. Vasishta became angry and he cursed Prashadra. Fool, he killed a cow. I curse him that he'll become a Shudra, like that he said, in his next life. So the news went to Prashadra. And Prashadra thought in his mind, I never intended to kill the cow. I am a protector of cows, but this, how can I explain this to Rishi? He is a great soul. I am an insignificant person in front of him. I can't argue with him. So he didn't criticize the Rishi. Instead, he thought, now that your great Brahma Shap has come upon me, I have to clear this sinful reaction. So he went to the ashram of one guru and became Brahmachari there. And then he said, now I will not be a prince anymore. I will give up all my other activities and stay in the Gurukula with Guruji. And then he did meditation on Krishna. And he perfected his life and went back to Godhead. He never became Shudra. See, he didn't criticize Vasishtha. He didn't prove to all the people that I didn't kill the cow, this and that. He didn't justify. That is his greatness. You see, many of us, sometimes people misunderstand us. And it is very painful for us. So acceptance of facts of life means what? Okay, people misunderstand you. Take shelter of Krishna who will never misunderstand you. Because Krishna is Sarvajna. He is all knowing. So therefore he took shelter of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada also, when he went to the West, faced various defeats. Lal Bahadur Shastri Prabhupada wanted him to sanction money from India. So he was about to come to America, but he died on the way by heart attack in Russia. So Prabhupada couldn't meet him. Although Lal Bahadur Shastri was appreciative of Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. Then Prabhupada wanted a Hartman's building which he wanted to purchase. But then he was not ready to give on rent. He said, either take it in 7 lakhs or quit. Then Padmapati Singhania refused to give money for Hartman's purchase of the building. He wanted to build a small, very ornate temple there in America. He didn't give the money. He wanted a temple in 50 lakhs. But he was not ready to give Prabhupada 7 lakhs. And Prabhupada wrote to Tirtha Maharaj to get permission from Indira Gandhi for sanction of money from India to America. No reply had come. After a long time of pushing, then reply came that Indira Gandhi refused. Universal Book House returned all the books of Prabhupada, said that nobody is purchasing your spiritual books. Indira Gandhi also gave unfavorable response. And Sumati Maharaji Prabhupada wrote to her, your Balagopal, I want to make a temple for him in America. Can you give me some money? She didn't respond at all. One Mukti Brahmachari was ready to come and join Prabhupada in America. But then his guru told him, don't waste time with Bhaktivedanta Swami. Americans are all mlechas and they will not become devotees. You just stay in India and serve under me, his guru told him. So in this way, Krishna stripped off all the help from Prabhupada's life. Why? Because Krishna wanted to give 100% credit of starting the Krishna consciousness movement to only Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada accepted the facts of life and tolerated them, but he never gave up his preaching. Same way it is said in Ulysses, there is a song, to strive, to seek, to find and not to yield, it is said. If you are a spiritualist, we have to be warriors, spiritual warriors. Like we say, when going gets tough, the tough should get going. And Prahlad is a tough fellow. He will never give up devotion to Vishnu. Although his father tortured him in all possible ways. So that's what we learn. And the fifth lesson here, attitude towards our profession. So, many of the devotees have this problem. They say that, Prabhu, I want to be serious in Krishna consciousness, so I don't have any interest in profession. No. A grihastha devotee has three duties. Family duty, professional duty, devotional duty. It's like a tripod. If you are spending too much time in the office and temple, then the wife will be unhappy. Because children and wife need time. If you are giving enough time to children and your job and profession, then devotees will catch you and ask you, Prabhu, these days you are not coming to temple. Are you in Maya? Are you all right? Isn't it? So, but if you are giving time to Krishna consciousness and home also very well, then job situation will be dangerous. They may tell you to quit the job. You are not performing well in the job. So it's a very challenging situation for the grihasthas. So they have to do all the three. So what should be our attitude towards profession? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, Dharma svanishtita pumsam vishvakse nakatasuyaha navutpadiyet yadiratim shiramaye vahi kevalam. Here you see, the attached workers, they take up unrealistic targets, and they are insecure, and they always argue, quarrel, and their job situation is so tense that it actually percolates into their Krishna consciousness. Like morning when they are chanting, they will be having anxieties about the job. This is one amazing thing I observed in Devakananda Prabhu. He is a lawyer. I asked him, Prabhuji, what time you sleep? What time you get up? He is a lawyer for the people in the outside world. But for devotees, we can see that his Krishna consciousness percolates into his job. Not that job percolates into his Krishna consciousness. He will see that even in his job place, he is making devotees. Wherever he goes, he meets people. So therefore, we should not remain in this below Svanishta stage, who is attached worker. We should come to the second stage, which is Svanishta stage is actually when the profession you do as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the profession is offered to the Supreme Lord Krishna, and then so much so that Krishna consciousness percolates into our job situation, which means even in the company, you are telling people, please come for Radhashtami, please come for Janmashtami festival, we have weekly programs, please come. Some of your colleagues become devotees by your influence. So that is the meaning of Utpadiyat. Na Utpadiyat Adhi Ratim Shramahi Kevalam. So the Rati means the goal of doing job and profession is ultimately to come to Lotus Feet of Krishna. Because the job actually provides you wealth, and then you can take care of wife and children and create a stable situation in the family life, and then above which you can practice on Krishna consciousness nicely. But if somebody is just doing profession all the time and making a lot of money, like one man was telling, you know, he took initiation in one ISKCON temple, then he stopped coming, then all devotees asked him, he said, no, I have to take my daughter for Bharatanatyam, I have to take my son for swimming, you know, I have to do an extra job for making more money, my second son is going abroad, I have to give him money. So there are people who get thoroughly swallowed by material energy. So therefore one should come from that stage to the Svanishta stage, where one can do profession in such a way that you are also gradually awakening Krishna consciousness. And then here you find, for people like our Janaka Maharaj, they don't care about the job, they can do any job. You tell him to do the job of a king, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, he'll be a king. You tell him to go to forest, he'll go to forest. You know, they can do any type of job. There are people whose guru tell them, you go and take up teaching profession and make students into devotees. There are people who agree to do. Or the guru tells them, okay, you work in a company or start your own company. They do it. They say, Guruji, you tell me what you want me to do, I will do. That is called as actually Parinishta Bhakta. Parinishta means he doesn't care about, you know, what is the material occupation. He doesn't derive any special prestige or social status by such profession. His only goal is to please Guru and Krishna. And that is the stage. And then beyond that, there's Nirapeksha Bhakta like Narada or Vidura or Madhavendra Puri and all. They have no job to do in this world. All they have is their whole life is Krishna consciousness only. They have no second thing in this world to do. So that is a very advanced stage. So Srimad Bhagavatam explains all these things very nicely, how to go from these stages gradually. In this way, we can take initiative. Like say King Muchukunda took initiative to assist the demigods. Arjuna and Prachina Parishad, they took initiative. Initially they were reluctant, but then inspired by the Lord and Narada and all, and they took initiative. Prahlad took initiative in spiritual life, even though circumstances were unfavorable. And King Bharata, he was distracted by material life. We learned from him not to be distracted. And all these people, Vidura, Dhruva, Gajendra and all, were slapped by material circumstances, and then they took to complete surrender to the Lord fully. So in this way we have examples. There was in Kailash and Indra in pig's form. They all never took initiative in spiritual life, but they were stuck in material life. So we should not be like them. So Bhagavatam will give us examples how not to be and how to be. Both types of examples are available for us. Srimad Bhagavatam. And the last one, following the instructions of authorities, we learn from several characters like Brahmaji appreciated Kardama Muni. Similarly, we learned from Devahuti's behavior towards Kardama, her husband. Very high-class wife. Shaldushi comes from a royal family, daughter of the king of the whole world. The kind of surrender Devahuti shows is unparalleled. Let us learn from Devahuti. See, Vishrambena Atmashauchena Gauravena Baliyasa, there is a verse. She served her husband with great intimacy. In the same manner, the disciples should serve the spiritual master with great intimacy. With quality service one should render. With intimacy means actually knowing the heart of the master and trying to please the master. So even without being told, one should know what is the best way to serve. And similarly, Atma Shajan means with purity. Purity in body, purity in mind, not to surpass the superior or override the authority, and not harbor any malice or envy, and hatred for a superior. Sometimes when superior's glories are spoken, if subordinate becomes envious, he's very unfortunate. He should actually become, he should be knowing that Krishna and Arjuna, they were like one unit. Jesus says, I and my father are one, he says. One not in the Mayavadi sense, but in consciousness and spirit. So we also should think, my superior and me, we are in one boat. It's not that my superior is separate, I am separate, and I have to compete with him foolishly. So we should have the purity of thought and word and deed. And Gauravena means with great respect she served also her guru. Attentiveness, alertness, and not taking the instructions lightly. So in this way, with great respect for the superior. And Damena, with control of the senses. Like, you know, once a sannyasi came to one temple. The temple had allotted one brahmachari to take care of him. But the brahmachari would, when he took the sannyasi to the room, he said, Maharaj, here is the water, here is the geyser, and this is your table. So I'll come and see how you are doing after every half an hour. So he would go every half an hour back to the door. And this Maharaj said, Maharaj, kaise chal raha hai? How is everything? And Maharaj said, told the temple president, I don't want this fellow. He speaks in a very proud tone and he keeps harassing me. A servant is not supposed to harass the master. You just ask him to give his phone number to me. Whenever I need him, I will call him. Other times, allow me to read and do my work peacefully, he said. So one needs the control of senses to be grave and to be sober. And one shouldn't act in an unrestricted way, foolishly. So Prabhupada also was having a servant called Shrutigirti Prabhu. When Shrutigirti Prabhu wanted a little break at one time, he was bringing another one, Nandakumar Prabhu, but Prabhupada wasn't happy. He said, servant should have sense control. If somebody's eyes are moving in all wrong directions and he's careless about serving master, he cannot serve, Prabhupada said. So, Shushrushya Sahurdena Vachamadri Yachabo. So one should speak very sweetly with the master and also serve very faithfully. This way, many nice things. So you can read this section, very interesting section. Prabhupada says, sons ought to render service to their father exactly to this extent. One should obey the command of his father or guru with due deference, saying, yes, sir. One should not disobey the superiors. So in this way, this is another verse. There are five things said how you can serve a superior. We should serve without duplicity, accept the instructions, show them proper respect, and also accomplish the goal of what they are giving, and serve without duplicity. And all these very nice things are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when we don't accept the instructions properly, what do? We always give excuses. Why I couldn't do what I couldn't do? We give excuses. And also we blame other people. If other people cooperated, I would have done, we say. Or we deny that, you ever told me, you didn't tell me properly, instruction was not clear and all that. So in this way, we don't complete the service many times. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the superiors are told to be very forgiving. Subordinates are told to be very tolerant of the chastisement of the superiors. Titikshaya, Karunaya, Maitriya, Chakila Jantushu. Samatvena cha sarvatma bhagavan samprasidati. Titikshaya means tolerance is taught for the subordinates. And karunaya is taught for the superiors. And maitriya for everybody. This is Bhagavatam. So beautiful. Well, thank you all very much. I have completed in about 45 minutes or so. I'm sorry if I have delayed the program. Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Do some spiritual programs and then Maya's push also will go away. And also the lag formula, which you said, lust, anger and greed. And the last few examples you gave for devotees who took initiatives in their life, like Muchukunda Maharaj or Prachini Parishad, Arjuna, Vidura and Dhruva Maharaj. So it has been a very enlightening Bhagavatam class for us. So now, Prabhu, can we take some few questions?
Yeah, sure.
If anybody has questions, can you, we have maybe time for a couple of them, not too much time, so you can unmute yourself and ask.
I will send this PPT across, so then Devakinandan Prabhu can leisurely teach on these topics in different sessions. You all will enjoy hearing from him more deeply. he can give you several hours of class on each of these themes. Harikrishna?
Prabhuji, I have one question. First of all, thank you very much for such a nice and deep realization of Srimad Bhagavatam. I always wonder when I read Srimad Bhagavatam, my insights are not so deep. But when I hear from devotees like yourself, I'm so impressed. It's the same verse, the same Bhagavatam, but your understanding is way, it's a light years ahead of me. So how can we also develop and relish and practically apply Bhagavatam?
Yeah, good question, Prabhu. Actually, there are four stages in study, Bhagavatam study. The first is Shravanam. And the second is called Mananam. Mananam means we recollect from the class what we heard. Therefore, what we do while hearing the class, we jot down some bullet points, some examples, some analogies, some stories, some concepts, what we heard. So, Mananam is very important to be done. Like you will see the cow, she first swallows the cud, then she brings out the cud and keeps chewing it. You will see that. Ruminating. The Mananam is like that. Then only you can digest what you heard. And then after that, Nididhyasanam means you apply in your life practically what you learned. You know, how is it relevant to my life? How is it relevant to the people of this world? How is it relevant? It was relevant in those ancient times. And how is it relevant in the modern times? So, this way of thinking and contemplating. And sometimes you can make comparison between Dhruva's austerity versus Hiranyakashipu's austerity. You can compare. For example, Daksha Prajapati is coming in and Shiva is not getting up and he is offending Shiva. Brihaspati is coming in, Indra is not getting up and Indra is offending Brihaspati, it is said. Why? In one case it is said Daksha is offending Shiva and there it is said Brihaspati is offending. Why? Compare and ask questions. Why these two pastimes appear different? So make comparison, contrast, analysis, evaluation, also application in my life, in others' life, in modern situation, theological application. So there are 12 aims of Shastric study. Knowledge, understanding, and realization. Then there is personal application, preaching application, theological application. Then there is faith and conviction, and Shastra Chakshus, and authority, scriptural authority, responsibility for learning, on all these things. So totally the 12 aims, I can send this PowerPoint to Dinamuni Chaitanya Prabhu and he can share with all of you. If you go through that, it will help us to study the Srimad Bhagavatam from this perspective. We study it, first hear it. You are all having good association there, you hear it well. After hearing, then Mananam, recollect what you heard in the class. And then Nididhyasanam, apply in your life. And then the four, implementing in your life. Implementation is also very important. And then the fourth thing is preaching to other people. So if we, the more we tell, like I am telling all of you today, I prepared this PPT and I am sharing with all of you now. Now, this will force me to make an effort for applying in my personal life. Others people will say, you are talking big things and you are not applying in your life. So it forces me to apply also. So in this way, this is a four-step process of studying Srimad Bhagavatam and all of us can do that. And we don't have to do it all alone. We are all living in a devotee community. Paraspara anukatanam pavanam bhagavad yashaha mito ratir mitastushtis nivrittir mita atmanaha. This verse says, we should do paraspara anukatanam. We should come in a circle and sit together. And then we study together and bring out our understandings, realizations, what we heard. And then we all will get inspired by each other. And then our wisdom will be enriched by mutual association. That is the beauty of Vaishnava Sangha. Vaishnavas actually like to come together and associate. Not like the jnanis who have to sit under their own respective trees. Jnanis are yogis and doing their own tapasya. Because the jnanis and yogis, they always have difference in their philosophies. They are called munis. But devotees are called Siddhadhir Muni. Like Narada Muni. They have come to the same conclusion, all devotees. So let us all come together and in each other's company reinforce and enrich each other's realizations and understandings by this four-step process. All right, Prabhu?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. There is one question here. Can I answer this one? by Umesh Prabhu. As you mentioned, we should accept the facts of life. Sometimes there is misunderstanding between devotees or with any person. You mentioned just take shelter of Krishna, King Prashadra, he will guide. But practically, should we do clarification with the person? Okay, good question. Very important question. If you don't clarify, sometimes that person maintains anger towards you, or they are feeling some offenses towards you. So therefore, we may want to clarify. So we have to think how to clarify. Because sometimes during clarification, we lose respect for each other. And we call ill names to each other. Bah, 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 and people shout like that sometimes in clarification. So then what we have to do, you can involve a senior devotee. Like for example, Devagiran Prabhu is very worshipable and respectable by all there, all of you. So you can request Prabhuji, Prabhuji, I am going to clarify this to the devotee. Can you be present there like a sakshi? And I don't want to do it alone myself because we may end up fighting. In the name of clarifying, ultimately you may say, Prabhu, I am really sorry for that one small thing I did, but otherwise I also didn't totally wrong. My intention was good, you may say. And that person will say, ah, now you agreed, no? You did the mistake, correct? He may say like, and you may say, no, that was not a mistake, you may say. And he will say, no, it was a mistake, you will say. Because you already agreed. I didn't agree. I came to seek forgiveness, you may say. So back and forth, it becomes a big fight. But if there's a senior devotee present, both the people will conduct themselves spiritually. Just like Ashwatthama's killing thing. You know, Bhima and Draupadi had opposite opinions. But because Krishna was personally present, so they were respectful to each other. You know, Draupadi didn't tell Bhima that you are a barbaric, ruthless, sinful, you know, animalistic man. And because you are trying to kill Ashwatthama, she didn't say that. Nor did Bhima tell Draupadi that, you know, look at you, you sentimental woman, get out of here, go back into the kitchen, you know. Don't come here and give your opinion. He didn't say that. You will see that both of them had respect because Krishna was present personally. So we also can sometimes clarify our misunderstandings in the presence of a senior who is a sakshi there. Senior may not speak anything. He may just be watching how you people are doing. We can do that. I agree with you. But if the person is refusing to understand, what to do? Okay, I have explained my stand. My intention is good. But he is refusing to agree with my intention. What can I do? Sorry, Prabhu. I think I have committed some sinful reaction in the past, because of which I earned your displeasure. I am sorry. I will try to be careful in future. You can say that. There's one more question here by Amit, Anjali, and Dhruva and Keshavi. In the example of borrowing money, you said forgive and forget. Shall we do the same when other people do bad thing to us? Certainly taking revenge mindset makes us disturbed. Actually, I don't say that if somebody took money and didn't give back, you keep quiet and forgive them. No, you should certainly fight tooth and nail to get the money back. Certainly. And another very important purpose is don't get cheated and don't cheat others. Don't do both, which means never over trust people. Even if they are devotees, don't say, Prabhu, I'll give you 5 lakhs. Whenever you want, you can give me. Don't say that. Because when giving money, you are careless. And then later on, you are crying that they are not giving back. So have a promissory note or whatever. I don't know the procedures and all. You all know better as grihasthas. Whatever procedures should be followed for karmis, same thing you follow with devotees. I tell the devotees also, if you are entering into profession or business, be very clear about terms, conditions and all. Don't, otherwise you will commit terrible offenses to each other. In the name of having over trust. Prabhu, I thought he's a devotee, he will never do this to me. People say that. Don't get into a wrong this thing. And like one devotee is starting some business, is telling many devotees to invest money in that, and then he fails in the business, and there's a big fight amongst devotees. It's a horrible thing, happens every time, you see. So you try to get the money back to your level best, but if that fellow has no money to give, he's practically bankrupt, what will you do? And then I told him, okay, accept the fact of life, I said. But if he's capable of giving, not giving, you may have to sometimes take a person to task. Therefore, in our Pune temple, we put one board that the temple will not take any responsibility for the monetary transactions or land transactions between one congregation member and another. It is totally a business deal, nothing to do with the temple. We have put a disclaimer in our temple. I have told people, you come and ask me Srimad Bhagavatam advice, or you ask me Krishna consciousness advice, I can give you, but don't bring such material matters. Because you did a mistake and you are fighting with each other, it is horrible. It is. Material world, as conditioned souls, we all have to handle with our subtle body. So, Therefore, we have to keep our material life very simple and uncomplicated, so that we will be able to rise above the dualities like Shita Ushna, Sukha Dukkha, Man Apaman, and we can focus on Krishna peacefully. So, therefore, make material life as simple as possible. Yeah, that is a good question. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Haribol? Yes, Prabhu, sure, Prabhu, yeah. Yeah, there is one question here by Suresh Prabhu. Should I answer that? Gopinath Acharya Prabhu can ask, yeah. Here it is there. Prabhu, you gave example of Vidura and how he took guidance from the Lord within his heart and he left instead of justifying. So how do we understand when it is our mind, when it is Lord guiding us? And therefore, Lord guiding us means you have to take guidance of your mentor and your superiors and ask them, in this situation should I give up or in this situation should I persist? For example, Arjuna was told by Krishna that you should persist and fight the battle and win the battle and make Yudhishthira Maharaj the king. Dhruva Maharaj was told by his Swayambhu Manu, you should give up the battle and not try to kill the Yakshas. Why? The reason is, one Yaksha killed your brother and you want to wipe out the race of Yakshas? Forget it. You give up the battle, he was told. Janamejaya was told, don't bring all the snakes in the universe and destroy the snake species. This is not proper. One snake bit your father. For that, don't kill all the snakes. So they were told to give up, desist from the battle. And Yudhishthira and Arjuna was told to fight the battle. So therefore, we need guidance of a mentor above us to know when to give up and when to fight. Yes, Prabhuji, I have completed. One last quick question. It's a Suresh Prabhu is asking, giving association, getting association, which one is important? Both are important. That's my answer. Thank you. So thank you all for your enthusiastic participation and very brilliant questions, very nice questions. I want to thank Devikanandan Prabhu and all the organizers of this event today. And you all are welcome to NBCC Pune. It's in Kathraj Kondua. We have a beautiful temple in 6-acre land with 50-room guest house. And we also have very nice Krishna dancing and Kaliya in our garden. Very beautiful fountain and everything. Shishi Radha Vrindavan Chandra. So you can, you are welcome to visit us anytime with your family when you come to India. And I am stationed there. And I also speak on online daily on Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila. I am doing 8th chapter now. I do that and I do on Demons in Vrindavan Lila. I am doing from Monday. So these are programs I keep doing. Why? Because by studying Bhagavatam and remembering these wonderful pastimes, you know, our mind and heart will become completely tuned and aligned with Lord's will. That's the goal of life. And this opportunity gave me to prepare this PPT. Thank you all very much. I will send it across to you and you all can go through it at your leisure, because I had to rush through it today a little bit. Thank you. Hare Krishna.